Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Freedom fountains illuminate Midland's duck pond. The duck pond will shine brighter each night with the installation of the Freedom Fountains. The City of Midland held a lighting ceremony of the Freedom Fountains on Wednesday night at the Wadley Barron Park, commonly known as the Duck Pond. The three fountains lit up in red, white, and blue in a patriotic symbol of Independence Day. Mayor Lori Blong said that the Duck Pond was chosen for the Freedom Fountains because it is already an iconic location with a view of the downtown skyline in the background. She added that the Duck Pond gives local families a place to enjoy and spend time together. Quote, "This Freedom Fountain is an opportunity to highlight what is already a great asset for Midland," end quote, Blong said. District 4 City Council member Amy Stretcher Burks said that the council is focusing on quality of life initiatives. Quote, "Our parks department had the idea of having fountains that light up for different occasions," end quote, Stretcher Burks said. Blong said the Freedom Fountains are an example of the council's commitment to quality of place initiatives and thanked the parks department for working to get the fountains launched. The Freedom Fountains were an 8-month-long project. Some of the initiatives to improve quality of life include adding lighting and different features to parks and across the city as part of the strategic plan. Quote, "Our council believes that parks and quality of life initiatives are critical for the city of Midland as we grow and flourish," end quote, Blong said. Quote, "We're so excited to have the opportunity to celebrate this together," end quote. The Freedom Fountains debuted in patriotic colors, but can be changed to different colors throughout the year. Blong said she's excited for the city to change the Freedom Fountain colors for different holidays and occasions. Quote, "I think it's really neat to see Midlanders come together and celebrate something like this," end quote, Stretcher Burks said. Quote, "I hope that people come and take pictures with their family," end quote. Collision in Reeves County kills woman. Reeves County. A 79-year-old woman is dead following a two-vehicle collision. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, the wreck occurred at approximately 3:56 p.m. Monday along I-20 at the eastbound mile marker 47. Mary Susan Gano of Riesel was transported to Reeves Regional Hospital and pronounced dead by medical staff there. The preliminary information from the DPS reports revealed that a 2019 Kenworth T3, driven by a 60-year-old Midland man, was stopped and stationary eastbound in the left lane on I-20 near mile marker 47. Gano's vehicle, a 2023 Jeep Compass, was traveling eastbound in the right lane of IH-20 near mile marker 47. DPS reports confirm that the driver of the Jeep made a lane change to the left lane and struck the rear of the Kenworth. The driver of the Kenworth was recorded as Robert Raymond Lalem. Lalem was reported as not injured during this incident. This crash is currently under investigation. Oil report. Intelligent wellhead, pro-frack test, new data protocol. Intelligent Wellhead Systems and ProFrac have teamed up to test a new data protocol for hydraulic fracturing operations. The two companies have completed successful field tests of MQTT, Message Queuing Telemetry Transport, in partnership with an operator on a pair of two well pads in the Haynesville and on a three well pad in the Permian Basin. A test on an additional three well pad in the Haynesville is ongoing. Quote, "As of June, we began testing with an operator in the Permian. Testing is going well, and we see this new protocol continuing to be implemented across all basins," end quote. Tracy Gray, Vice President, Strategy and Marketing with Intelligent Wellhead, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. MQTT is designed to offer the safe and efficient transfer and visualization of well site data during hydraulic fracturing operations to enhance well site connectivity and improve data transmission. Quote, "MQTT makes the data setup and ingestion process simpler, cheaper, faster, and more accurate. With MQTT, metadata, including the channel name for each data curve, can now be sent, unlike with other protocols. Also, instead of mapping just the serial order of data, the data channel name can now be mapped as well. No manual data entry is required, eliminating errors in data due to manual entry, end quote, Gray said. With MQTT, not only is the mapping process simpler, but it's also completed prior to the start of the job, so data ingestion begins at the start of the job. With the whole burden of channel mapping and data manipulation during the job is removed from the data van operator, she continued. That saves companies time and money. Once the job commences, data is now easily transmitted accurately and reliably, without being dependent on aligning channel order, and crews are now mapping based on previously agreed channels. Quote, this negates the issues brought on by changing channel names or channel order during the job. The process of manually entering, changing, or quality checking data is eliminated, significantly decreasing the time and cost of data manipulation. Enhanced data quality means added confidence in downstream operations. All data, including reports, analysis, and planning, are more reliable. Added trust between the operator, the service company, and the aggregator company bring new levels of assurance and added safety to well site operations, end quote, Gray said. ProFrac Services, a subsidiary of ProFrac Holdings, provides hydraulic fracturing services. Intelligent Wellhead Systems, a wholly owned subsidiary of Payson Systems, Inc., provides automation solutions with a focus on valve management solutions, digital controls, data management, and cloud-based solutions, and integrated well site management. LandBridge successfully completes IPO. With a successful initial public offering under its belt, LandBridge Company is prepared to move forward with developing the 220,000 surface acres it owns in the Delaware Basin. Quote, we have great partners, that's why we went public, end quote, explained Jason Long, chief executive officer, in a video call with the Reporter Telegram. Formed in 2021 by Five Point Energy LLC, an energy private equity firm, LandBridge manages its holdings to support oil and natural gas production and other industrial development. What's interesting about LandBridge is it holds a large contiguous position that also offers several attractive points for developers. One is water needed for cooling facilities such as data centers, he said. The company has been host to data centers and crypto mining in the last couple of years. Another is access to potential cheap energy with natural gas prices at the Waha Hub in Reeves County, turning negative 18 times this year. LandBridge Chairman David Capobianco estimated data centers, crypto miners, and battery storage tenants could take up to 2 billion cubic feet of natural gas, which Long said could benefit prices. Quote, we're thinking behind-the-pipe solutions like gas-fired generators, end quote, Long said. Quote, there's also a couple of solar projects we're looking at, end quote. There have been big opportunities arising the last 6 to 12 months, and the IPO helps focus investor attention on those opportunities, Long said. Quote, we'll see more of those opportunities unfold, end quote, he said. In terms of the developing battery storage arena, he said the company is in the first innings of conversations with potential developers. Likewise, he said, the Delaware Basin is still in the early innings of development. One arena is management of the water produced alongside the oil and natural gas, Long said. That is something LandBridge's parent company, WaterBridge, where he also serves as co-chief executive officer, handles, he said. LandBridge debuted June 28th on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol LB. RRC launches major technology project. For more than a century, the Railroad Commission has overseen the state's oil and gas operations. In recent years, the agency has worked to ensure its operations are as modern as possible. In that effort, the commission has launched what it calls a significant technological advancement, the Lone Star, State Tracking and Reporting. The first Lone Star release allows operators to make online filings for Form P5. A spokesman for the agency told the Reporter Telegram by email that the P5 was the first release because, quote, it's the first form required of an entity and refiled annually performing oil and gas operations in the state. It's filed by producers pipeline operators, gatherers, and more to operate in Texas. End quote. Other forms associated with the P5 process can also be filed online through Lone Star. Form W-3C for certification of surface equipment removal for an inactive well, and form W-3X. The application for an extension of deadline for plugging an inactive well. Lone Star gives operators the ability to monitor the P5 approval process online, fix any compliance issues related to filings in real time, and view records online. The project not only reduces the extensive paperwork that operators were once required to send, it also streamlines the day-to-day review process by commission staff. The spokesman wrote, there are several aspects to Lone Star that make it a major technology project. Quote, not only is moving filings to an online format a significant function, but the commission is also taking large volumes of data off an antiquated mainframe system and moving it to modern, cloud-based platforms as part of Lone Star, end quote, he wrote. Future releases will include other oil and gas and environmental permitting processes. According to the agency spokesman, there is no set timeline yet for future releases, quote, but the commission is actively working on implementing Form P18, Monthly Skim Oil/Condensate Report, and several forms associated with waste haulers, end quote.
Citgo auction faces a possible delay. The special master in charge of a court-ordered auction of Houston-based Citgo requested Friday the sale process be delayed. If granted, the motion would delay the auction originally scheduled for July 15th until September. Special Master Robert Pincus received, quote, several competitive bids, end quote. The Friday motion states, quote, and it is the special master's opinion that multiple bids are actionable, end quote. Pincus and his team said in the filing that they need more time to sift through bids they described as, quote, complex, end quote. The U.S. District Court in Delaware, where the case is being heard, has not identified the bidders. Quote, given the number of bids as well as the strength of those bids, the special master and his advisors require additional time to review bids, end quote, the filing states. The court may be buying time because the bids are weak, said Matthew Blair, Tudor Pickering Holtz, managing director of refining, chemicals, and renewable fuels. Blair has said from the start of the process that Citgo's refineries could attract higher bids if the court allowed them to be sold separately. Quote, we continue to think that the current strategy of trying to selling everything as one isn't going to go through, end quote, Blair said Monday during an interview. Quote, eventually, these will just be sold as separate deals, and that will generate more value for the shareholders, end quote. The court aims to use the proceeds from Venezuela-owned Citgo to pay back billions of dollars in debts owed by the Venezuelan government that have been mounting since it seized the foreign assets in 2007. Creditors targeted Citgo, which employs about 3,300 workers in the U.S., because it is the largest U.S. asset of the Venezuelan government and operates three top-tier refineries, including two along the Gulf Coast. Houston's ConocoPhillips is seeking to recover more than $11.8 billion through the process, court documents show, raising questions about how much of the more than $20 billion sought by Venezuela's creditors can reasonably be squeezed from Citgo. Two members of the so-called, quote, Citgo Six, end quote, Houston-based company employees who were lured to Venezuela and imprisoned in May joined the long line of people seeking a piece of the proceeds from the sale of its crown jewel. They are suing Citgo for what they claim was its complicity in their unjust capture, detainment, and torture in Venezuela. Abbott Patrick want to double power plant fund. Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said Monday they would seek to expand a taxpayer-backed program primarily funding low-interest loans to build natural gas power plants in Texas to $10 billion from $5 billion, quote, as soon as possible, end quote. The move comes in response to new estimates from the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the state's power grid operator, that the state could need 152 gigawatts of power in 6 years, roughly doubling the current record of 85.5 gigawatts. Though the projection has been public since April, there has been fresh concern among state leaders, including a sharp turn by some against the cryptocurrency industry, after ERCOT CEO Pablo Vegas spooked lawmakers last month with his testimony at legislative hearings on the grid in June. Quote, if the new estimate is correct, the updated numbers provided by Mr. Vegas call for an immediate review of all policies concerning the grid, end quote, Abbott and Patrick said in a joint statement. Voters in November approved a $10 billion package known as the Texas Energy Fund, meant to incentivize new on-demand generation, excluding battery storage, on the ERCOT grid, with $5 billion available in 2024 and 2025. Developers have submitted 125 notices of their intention to apply for $38.9 billion in financing for nearly 56 gigawatts of proposed generation, though not all may formally apply by the July 27th deadline. How much of the 152 gigawatts of projected demand will materialize is also uncertain, as some applications to connect to the ERCOT grid, such as from data centers, may be speculative. Critics of the Texas Energy Fund have said state leaders should focus on programs that reduce energy waste and incentivize energy conservation during times of peak demand, rather than gas plants that produce climate-warming emissions. Life Tributes, Christy Jo Fradenberg, 10/16/1962 to 6/29/2024. Christy Jo Fradenberg entered into the presence of the Lord on the 29th of June at the age of 61 in her home in Midland, Texas, surrounded by her loving family. She was born in Houston, Texas on October 16, 1962, and was a graduate of Midland Lee High School and the University of Texas. Christy is survived by her husband, Glenn Fradenberg, her children, Brian Shelburne, and his wife, Morgan, Matthew Shelburne and Sadie Lowers Shelburne, and her husband, Sean, her mother, Betty Bartosz Cervenka, and her five siblings, Joy Helping Bartosz, Jan Novosad Bartosz, Gil Gibb Bartosz Jr., Holly Sarkanella Bartosz, and Becky Vanderberry Bartosz. Glenn's children are Hill Fradenberg and his wife Taylor, son Holden Glenn, George Fradenberg and his wife Catherine Lane, sons John B. and Ellis, Anna Fradenberg Coleman, and her husband Brad, daughter Ellie Todd. She was preceded in death by her father, Gil Bartosz. A memorial service will be held on Wednesday, July 10th, 2024 at 2 o'clock p.m. at Stonegate Fellowship, 6000 West Wadley Avenue in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Tommy Strack, 2/19/1934 to 6/26/2024. Tommy Ryland Strack, a beloved wife, mother, grandmother, and friend, entered heaven on June 26, 2024, surrounded by her daughter and grandchildren. Born on February 19, 1934, to Al and Ethel Ryland in Detroit, Michigan. She leaves behind her children, Robert E. Strack of New Braunfels and Cheryl Strack Bryson of Dallas, and her two granddaughters, Addison Portell and Ryland Powell, along with her step-grandchildren, Drew Bryson and Adam Bryson. Lawrence Kenneth Ken Marks. Lawrence Kenneth Ken Marks, 90, of Midland, passed away July 2, 2024. The family will receive guests from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, July 10, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A celebration of Ken's life will be at 2 o'clock p.m. Thursday, July 11, 2024, at Crestview Baptist Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Billie Jean Newcomb. Billie Jean Newcomb, 86, passed away on July 2, 2024, in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Services will be held on Friday, July 12, 2024, at 10 a.m. at Bastrop First Assembly of God, 609 Pecan Street, Bastrop, Texas, by Pastor Phil Woods. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Madison County Funeral Service of Huntsville, Arkansas. Lawrence Dean Osborne. Lawrence Dean Osborne, Shorty, passed away Wednesday, July 3rd, 2024, in Midland, Texas. Graveside services will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, July 9th, 2024, at Fairview Cemetery, 1620 North A Street in Midland. Services are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Community. Mainly Midland. HEB Military Care Packages, Ellen Newell Art Museum, McDonald Observatory Donation. Nominate your military hero for an HEB care package filled with Texas favorites. Details. HEB customers can nominate active duty military service members serving within the U.S. Armed Forces for care packages from HEB. HEB customers can nominate active duty military service members serving the country away from home, and HEB will send them a care package filled with HEB items. The first 1,000 active duty service members nominated will receive a care package filled with HEB favorites. Nominations are now open and will be accepted until 1,000 nominations are received. Visit heb.com/military care packages to nominate your military hero for them to receive a package filled with HEB goods. HEB partners will also handwrite a personal thank you message for each care package, adding a special touch for your service member. Quote, HEB proudly supports our nation's military, and as we commemorate Independence Day, we are delighted to send a taste of Texas to the brave military service members currently serving our country away from home, end quote, said Johnny Mojica, HEB Public Affairs Manager. This effort is one of more than 100 Independence Day celebrations HEB supports each year across Texas through its Operation Appreciation Program. Launched in 2013, HEB's Operation Appreciation aims at supporting and honoring active duty military service members, veterans, and their families. The program focuses on providing employment opportunities and partnering with military-focused nonprofits. Ellen Newell Art Museum to host Cultural Enhancement Project. Details. Ray Perryman of the Perryman Group plans to update the community on the economic impact of the Ellen Newell Art Museum's cultural enhancement. The presentation is slated for 10 a.m. Tuesday, July 9th at 4919 East University Boulevard in Odessa. The presentation will have coffee and pastries available. Brief speakers will also include Scott Murray, Aaron Hawley, and Chris Stanley. Steve Patton will lead hard hat tours of the renovations for those who wish to see the renovations and are wearing closed-toed shoes. There will also be a brief update on the renovation progress. McDonald Observatory announces generous gift of $4 million. Details. Recently, the Harry W. Bass Jr. Foundation gifted $4 million to the McDonald Observatory. The gift from the foundation will support updates to McDonald Observatory's Frank N. Bash Visitor Center and improve and expand the observatory's visitor experience. Quote, we are grateful for their investment in this Texas gem, end quote, said Taft Armendroff, director of McDonald Observatory. Quote, renovations in the Visitor Center translate into big impacts for our education and outreach programming, end quote. In a typical year, the space welcomes 75,000 guests and orients them to the science of astronomy and the observatory's contributions to the field. Inaugurated in 2002, the Frank N. Bash Visitor Center was built to serve the needs of increasing tourism at the site. The building it replaced was designed to accommodate only 20,000 people a year. First called the Texas Astronomy Education Center, it was renamed in 2006 to honor Frank N. Bash, the observatory's director from 1989 to 2003, and a champion of public outreach. Current exhibits share the history of the McDonald Observatory, core astronomical concepts, and how scientists study the universe. Though these exhibits are still relevant, major advances in scientific discovery have been made since they were first unveiled. New exhibits will add information about the abundance of planets outside our solar system, the characteristics and evolution of galaxies, the lives of stars, the mysteries of dark matter and dark energy, the giant Magellan telescope, currently under construction in Chile, and the new age of discovery this amazing instrument will unlock. Exhibit renovations are part of the observatory's broader goal to connect learners of all ages with life-changing astronomy and science experiences. Toward this purpose, it also plans to develop new films, create audio tours, renovate visitor spaces at the Harlan J. Smith and Hobby Eberle telescopes, and expand its outdoor public facilities. Work is already underway with the design and installation of the, quote, Preserving Dark Skies, end quote, exhibit in 2022, marking the first major update. The Harry W. Bass Jr. Foundation supports nonprofit organizations dedicated to science, education, the arts, and human services. The late Harry W. Bass Jr., after whom the foundation is named, ran an oil company, developed ski resorts in Colorado, and amassed one of the world's great coin collections. To donate to McDonald Observatory's Frank N. Bash Visitor Center renovation project, visit give.utexas.edu. Princesses Dazzle at Ladies' Tea Party. The third annual Ladies' Tea Party, hosted by Addie's Hope Adoption Agency, was fit for a princess. As attendees walked into the Bush Convention Center ballroom, the princess theme was brought to life as Belle greeted sponsors and their guests. Once inside, a beautifully lit, oversized tree adorned with teacups set the tone for the tea party decorations throughout the room. The teacups also doubled as a popular silent auction item. Other auction items included a Rockhounds ticket and memorabilia package, a tea dispenser, candles, paintings, necklaces, earrings, a basket full of tea flavors, and a kids' summer art basket. Many guests quickly got in line to buy cupcakes for their chance to win Kendra Scott or James Avery jewelry. For lunch, the chicken and waffles with a cinnamon syrup banana topping was a big hit. Trays full of fruit, cheese, and sandwich wraps along with a salad and a charcuterie board were also available. A hot water station with a variety of tea flavors was a huge hit. In keeping with the princess theme, centerpieces on each table range from a Cinderella carriage to a fairy tale spinning wheel. After everyone was seated, Holly Ann Petrie, the founder and executive director of Addie's Hope, told her story of why she started the organization. Jamie Poe, the organization's West Texas program coordinator, then highlighted the mission of Addie's Hope and talked about how the fundraiser helps accomplish that. After lunch, a countdown took place for those that purchased a cupcake to win the jewelry. After biting into it, the winner was the person who found edible sprinkles in the center of their cupcake.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.